listening. It's a story about listening. And it's really important whenever we listen that we can actually understand the things that are being said to us. I don't know, can we get my visuals on? That's brilliant, because it's very important to not just hear, but also to understand, as this German Coast Guard found out on his first day at work. Yeah, it's important not just to listen, not just to hear, but it's important to understand. And I think that's what this story is about. I don't know whether I was drawn to this story because it's a story of a child having a sleepless night. It's a story of a young boy continually waking up and not making any sense whatsoever. And it's a story of a young man waking an old man up and probably doing his head in several times. I don't know whether my circumstances in life at the minute have kind of made me drawn to this story, but I also think I'm drawn to it because I think God wants to say something through it to us. And I also think he wants to say something about our work with children and with young people in Carmelie, because it is more than a story about sleep deprivation or about an annoying child annoying an older man. I think it's a story about God speaking, about us listening, and actually about the older generation helping the younger generation to understand. I had control of the TV remote last night, which was great, and it meant that I could watch the Champions League final. The Champions League final was played between two German sides. You're really seeing a theme and a thread through the sermon already tonight. But this is one of the managers of one of the teams, Borussia Dortmund. This man is called Jurgen Klopp. He's a great name. He's got a great name, but he's also a kind of weird and wonderful, quite eccentric manager. And he said this during the week, and I thought it was amazing what he said. He said, "We want to have special stories to share with our children when we are old and gray. Special stories for the next generation. And to have special stories to share, we need special moments." We want to have special stories with our children when we are old and gray. And I want to say tonight that we do have special stories to share. We have the special story of the story, the big story, the overarching story of God, the narrative of God that reveals who he is, reveals his character, reveals his love, reveals his grace, reveals his forgiveness, reveals his plans and his purposes. We have these stories, this story, to share with children, even while we are getting old and gray. And so can I encourage you to be part of that? Sharing this story with the next generation. Let me put this passage, this story, in context tonight. It starts with these words: "The word of the Lord was rare in those days." So, to paint the picture, Israel, the nation of Israel, was not a place where loads of people were talking about God. It wasn't a place where God was being talked about by everybody and by anybody. In fact, it was probably a place where God's word was rarely spoken and rarely read, perhaps unless people found themselves in the place of the temple. The word of the Lord was rare. And I wonder if this sounds familiar to us, because at times we can be despairing, can't we, about society and about culture and the world we live in. We can think perhaps nobody is interested in God, nobody's talking about God, nobody has an appetite for a relationship with Jesus. Maybe God's word isn't being proclaimed as clearly or as loudly as we might think or we might like. And for us, perhaps we see the culture of celebrity grabbing hold of our young people and ourselves, maybe more and more. And we see the pull of friends and the pull of society upon people's lives. And we see the kind of rise of social media and other forms of media that might want to steal and rob and kill and destroy certain things. And so we might look at the world and think, despair, hopelessness. We might look at that and think, what hope is there for young people in today's world? And I think this passage shows us that these are no reasons to despair. These are no reasons to worry, because this passage teaches us that what is happening in the world, or even despite what is happening in the world around us, God still wants to speak, and he still speaks to us, and he still speaks to children. What a thought, by the way. What a thought that an 8-year-old child could hear the voice of God, an 8-year-old child who didn't actually know God. We can be tempted as Christians to think that God's revelation is just for us who are older and wiser, for those of us who have been traveling down the path for many years. We know God, we know church, we've done the drill, and we understand it. God will speak to us, but God is in the business of speaking to the young as well as those of us who have been down the road a little bit further. And I want to suggest two simple things out of this story that I believe have something to say to us tonight. The first is placing. Placing, to hear the voice of God, placing has a significance and importance. Now, I know God can speak to anyone at any time, at any occasion, and in any circumstance. I know that. But there's something about this story that has intention about it. Hannah, this young girl, has been praying for years and years and years to have a child. And finally, God grants her wish. Finally, God gives her the thing that she desires the most. And Hannah, as a response, says, God, thanks for this gift, and now I'm going to give you this child back. And she places him in the temple for his life and his upbringing so he can learn the ways of God. Hannah, as a parent, intentionally set or placed her son Samuel in a place where he would find God and he would know God. Placing is really important. And I want to say to a few different folks, first of all, young people tonight, young people who are here tonight, I want to encourage you to continue finding yourself in the place where you will hear God speak as clearly as you can. Keep placing yourselves in places such as this. In your organization, stay faithful to them. Keep coming week on week, because God has a message for you. God has stuff to say to you. And you need to keep putting yourself into the place, into the right place to hear him speak. So get stuck into your organizations, be faithful there, but also get stuck into church. You're welcome here. There's a place for you here. And I speak to people often who say, I feel far from God. I feel like I've drifted from God. And one of the first questions that I might ask is, have you been placing yourself in the place where you can hear God speak really clearly, without the buzz of distraction, without the pull of the world and society? Are you placing yourself in the right place? But I also think there's something to say to leaders as well. Listen to the words of Stephen. I've been attending Carmony Church and Fusion for 2 years, which has helped me to develop my relationship with God and grow in my faith. I am able to put things I have learned on Sunday nights into practice during the week. Fusion has helped my confidence to grow by meeting new people, and it teaches me how to deal with problems I may face, and also directs me on their pathway towards God. If you're a leader tonight, if you serve in a children's or youth organization, in fact, if you serve in anything, we need to keep creating those type of environments where young people like Stephen can clearly hear the word of God. So we need to make it easy as possible for children and young people to hear God. So make sure in your organizations, make sure in your service or your mentor, and whatever it is, make sure that above the buzz, the activities, the program, the special events, the trips, the stuff that you do, make sure that above all of that, you allow space for God to be heard and for young people to respond. And parents, I want to encourage you to keep placing your children in these environments as best you can and as much as you can. I know it's hard. I know that children and young people don't always want to come to church. It's not always the popular place. It's not always the cool thing to do. But I want to encourage you to keep encouraging and sending and praying for and encouraging your young people to be part of these environments. I know that at times they don't always want to. In fact, I was that young person. I was that 13-year-old who begged his mum not to send him to youth fellowship on a Sunday night. Mom had no idea that Top Gear was on at the same time. And she, as a cruel mom, wanted to send her son to this place where he had no friends. And Reid, kind of translation of he had no friends was that none of the guys my age really liked sport or football. And so then I had nothing in common with them and didn't know how to talk to them at that age. And so I begged Mom every Sunday night. I made up excuses. I even offered to do my homework on a Sunday night. That was a big deal. I pretended to be sick. I threw tantrums. I argued. I debated quite cleverly at times as well. I even turned on the tear taps at times just to pretend that I was so desperate not to go. Did it? But every week, I was driven to church along with my older sister. Every week, I was sent down to that horrible place. And did it make me enjoy it anymore? Probably not, to be honest. Probably not for the next 2 or 3 years. But at the age of 15, a bolt out of the blue, something changed in my life as I experienced and was part of that youth group that night. Because that night I made a decision, a choice, an intentional decision to start following Jesus and to make him the focus of my life. And suddenly, this youth group that I despise becomes my source of teaching. This youth group that I really don't want to be a part of becomes a place where I love and enjoy. I love the people where I grow. The people around me are an influence to me, and they become my support network and my opportunity to grow as a Christian. Was my mom cruel? Perhaps. I believe she was faithful. She was faithful. And parents, I understand. I've had conversations with some of you, and I know it's difficult if someone really, really doesn't want to be there. All I'm saying tonight is keep encouraging as best you can. Kids don't really like school, but we'll send them there. Kids certainly don't like vegetables often, but we know that it's important to feed them as well, and I think it's the same for church. I think we need to keep encouraging. Let's not allow our children and young people to make their mind up about church before they've had a chance to really give it a go. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm a little bit biased, but I really, really believe in the things that we do here in this church for children and young people. I really believe in them. I believe in the potential of Sunday school to help children open the Bible. I believe in the environment that we create on a Friday and Saturday night at the Zone to help young people build relationships with each other, friendships with each other, and a place to connect. I believe in the power of our Boys Brigade company to influence teenage boys right up to an older age. I believe in the work of our GB to model a Christ-likeness among girls. I believe in the ministry of our CE organization on a Friday night that really, especially among the older ones, really seek to train up and develop young leaders of the future. I believe in the relevance of Fusion to teach teenagers what it means to follow Jesus today. And I believe in our one-to-one mentoring scheme, helping to grow young disciples. And do you know why I believe these things? Because I see it. I see it every single week in the lives of children or young people. In January, at our junior zone, a young boy came along for the very first time. He seemed to be on his own and didn't really have very many friends. Until that was one of our leaders, Simon, drew alongside him and started to talk to him and began to draw him into what was going on around him. It became quite clear that he just moved into the area in the last week, had just joined a new school and didn't know anyone and didn't have any friends. His mom sent him along to try and get some new friends at the junior zone. So Simon helped him maybe integrate a little bit more, probably spent a lot of time with him that evening and encouraged him to get involved and meet other people. But Simon also did one other thing, mentioned to him about other things that happened in the church for boys his age. The next day, I got a phone call from his mom to say thanks for the care and the leaders that looked out for him last night, but can you tell me some details about the BB that's happening this week? Can you tell me what time it's on, and is it okay to send them along? A joined-up ministry approach where other organizations are helping out other, and where we see it that we're all pitching in together to help disciple young people. And then there's Lauren, who writes this. I was encouraged to go to Carmony Church by a few friends. I thought I'd hate it because I had a bad perspective of church. The first night I went, I actually loved it. And by the way, this is church. Okay, not anything else, church. I loved it and couldn't wait to go back. 2 months later, I became a Christian. Church has really impacted me. I took another step in March and got baptized. Carmoney Church helps me to grow my relationship with God every week. Fusion is good because it aims its talks at young people, so they're easy to go out in the week and live your life by what that you've been taught on a Sunday night. Or Rachel, who writes this. First three words, I love church. It is genuinely my favorite place. Without it, I would never be where I currently am in my faith. It's a place where I've been able to develop my relationship with God and find great role models that I can look up to as I become an adult. It's a place I feel more totally comfortable and at home, but also somewhere that I'm constantly learning more. And if Rachel had read that out, her emphasis would have been much more dramatic and better than mine. We can all be part of these stories. In fact, I want to tell you tonight that you are part of these stories. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, you can be part of these stories. If you volunteer with a youth organization, then you are actually a part of all of those stories. You can own those stories. They're yours. If you push the buttons on a sound desk or an AV desk, then you are part of those stories as you facilitate those young people meeting God. If you welcome people at the door with a smile on your face, if you ask them how their week's going, if you pray at I-56 for the next generation, if you give money to the Youth Development Fund, if you look out for people, if you, whatever you do, you can be a part of these stories. You can own those stories. If you clean the halls so that our activities can happen, you can own those stories. So what we need is for young people to keep putting themselves in the right place to hear God. We need youth leaders to create those environments, and we need parents to keep encouraging and to keep sending. The second thing I want to kind of pull out of this is the word perceiving or perception. Eli needed to perceive what was going on. It says in verse 8, then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. It's all very well that God was talking to Samuel hearing this voice, but actually what he really, really needed, what Samuel really needed in those moments was actually someone to draw alongside him and to help him to kind of work out what was going on. We need to do that for our young people. They have so much stuff to navigate in their lives. We need to help them work out what's going on at times. And as Sharon said, at times they will teach us way more than we think we're teaching them, but we also need a perception to work out what God might want to do and what God might want to say. We need that within our organizations. The way we've been doing things this last year, is that the best way, or is there another way we could be doing it? Perceiving what's going on, perceiving what might be the best question to open up with in my small group on Sunday school on a Sunday morning. What might be the best question to ask that young person as they come in to our halls on a Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday night? Perceiving what's going on, perceiving what the Lord might want to do in their life. So Samuel needed Eli. He needed his perspective. He needed his experience. Was it annoying for Eli to be hassled during the night? Probably. Was it annoying for him to be asked the same question over and over again? I'm sure it was for Eli, but was it worth it? Was it worth it to have a child experience and listen to the voice of God? I'm sure for Eli it completely was. Is it tiring to give up a night every single week to come down here and volunteer? Yeah, sometimes it is. Is it frustrating to give your energies to something and at times not get noticed or thanked? Yeah, sometimes it is. But is it worth it to have young girls or young boys encounter the voice of God in their lives? You know that it absolutely is. And so what could we want more? What could we want more than children simply listening to the voice of God? And so that's where we're at with our Youth Vision Sunday. That's what the vision is. The vision isn't to build something bigger, brighter. The vision isn't to spend more money or do some cool event and pull it off. The vision is simply to try and facilitate places where children and young people can encounter God. We might do some of those things along the way, by the way, to help do that. But that's the vision of what we do. So as I was growing up as a teenager, I played loads of sport. Probably mentioned that already. And I played loads of sport, too many sports. You know, if it had a bat or a ball, whatever it was, I probably tried to play it. So there was cricket and athletics in the summer. There was football and rugby in the winter. I tried to play both. I know you're looking at me right now thinking, rugby, really? But you know, I played every sport that was going. I just loved sport, but my problem was that I played too many sports. And I became kind of okay-ish at most sports, but I was never very good at one. I was never very good at one thing that I could focus on, concentrate on, go all the way and make me millions. Just couldn't focus on one. And in our youth work in Carmoney, I want us to be a church that goes both deep and wide, but there's a warning, because sometimes when we aim for width, we don't get any depth. And that's the same for my sport. I became this jack of all trades, master of none. Good at, well, okay at a lot of things, not very good at any one thing. And so width is important if we're talking about young people. Width is important. So our recent church record showed that we had over 1,000 children and young people coming onto the church property every week. That's great. It's encouraging. And we remain thankful at the sheer size of our uniformed organizations. We're thankful for the growth in our zone ministry this year, our youth club ministry, as we kind of developed that over two nights and two separate age groups. We've seen some growth in Fusion on Sunday night. We're encouraged that at our Coast events in February, there was over 300 teenagers coming into the halls, our beach-themed halls, for a whole weekend. We're really encouraged that the things are wide with our young people. We want to be a church. I want to be a church that reaches out to all of the community. No boundaries, no barriers to anyone coming in. In fact, sometimes I get shouted at when I'm driving my car in the area and Sarah's in the front seat. And sometimes we'll be driving through and we're going to, I don't know, mother care or something like that. But anyway, driving through. And at times I would maybe see a group of young people just on up the road, okay, a group of young people on the side of the road, and I'd do it without even realizing, but sometimes I hit the brakes or just sort of decelerate a little, and Sarah looks at me, she knows what I'm doing, she says, what are you doing? She says this, you don't know every young person in Carmoney. I'm like, I'm well aware of that, but anyway, there was one day we were driving, and I took my foot off the accelerator and had a good kind of glance to see who that was, or see if I knew them, to wave or to stop and chat or whatever. And Sarah said this, she says, they're not all your young people. They're not all your young people. Well, actually, dear, they are. They are, because we have hundreds of young people. Those stats are not just our young people. We have 1,000 young people in the local high school. We have hundreds of kids in the local primary schools. We have countless kids in the houses that surround this church. They are our young people, because we are coming into contact with them. Church members are coming into contact with them. Friends are coming into contact with them. Young people are inviting people. They are our church. So church happens here, but church happens out there and in the community. And I want us to be wide as a youth movement. I want us to be welcoming in and reaching out to all of the young people in our area. But more than celebrating width, I really, really, really want to pursue depth and be people who pursue depth. If you think of a forest, if you see a forest, the future of the forest lies in the young trees. But in order for those young trees to grow and develop, they need strong roots. And so if we want our young people to grow and develop, then we're going to need to help them provide them and help them to develop strong roots. Strong roots that no matter what happens in their life, no matter what shakes them, no matter what circumstance comes their way, no matter what relationship breaks down, no matter what friends walk away, no matter what's going at home, no matter what disappointment comes, or no matter what the exam results say, that these will be children and young people who will not be shaken. So we need to pursue depth. Let's stop patting ourselves in the back and saying it's great that we have X number of people coming into our halls. And let's pursue depth in the people who are coming along. And so how do we pursue depth? You see, in football now, the question isn't how good is your team? The question is how deep is your squad? And so Alex Ferguson has shown that over the years. That's why he's become a football legend, because he's developed a deep squad of loads of players who he could call on, and he rotates them and he rests them, but he's got deep squads. That's why he was successful. And Richard Foster put it a little bit better than Alex Ferguson. He said it like this. He said, the desperate need today isn't for a greater number of intelligent people, at which I breathe a sigh of relief. And then he says this, but the desperate need is for deep people. The desperate need in this church is for deep people, for people of more depth. And so let's aim for that in our organizations. Let's aim for that in our volunteering. Let's aim for that in the things that we do. And if I can be as bold as suggest that actually depth won't be found by just ordering more pizza just to hope they would come, or to use Bible stories as some sort of moral spin to run another event just to keep young people occupied and off the streets. Depth won't be found by leaders just merely turning up out of a sense of duty. Depth won't be found by a quick epilogue now and again. Depth won't be found by searching for better entertainment or playing the numbers game. But depth might be found by people who are in this for the long haul. Depth might be found by bringing the Bible and prayer to the forefront of what we do. Depth might be found by actually getting to know the names of the children and young people who come in to our care. Depth will be found by moving away from the radiators on a Tuesday, Thursday, or some Saturday night and engaging in conversation with the 5, the 11-year-olds, and the 17-year-olds. There is so much stuff going on in the lives of our children and young people if we would just bother to scratch the surface and to ask and to find out and to listen. I find that far too often in my own youth ministry and my own leadership, I'm far too quick to speak and want to get across a message rather than listen to what the young people want to tell me and where they are at. Depth might be found by allowing young people to speak things out for themselves and to try things out for themselves and maybe even fail. Depth will be found by becoming intentional about the time we spend with them. Depth will be found by focusing more on people's identity rather than their activity. And just to give you a quick example of that kind of phrase, identity before activity. So on a Friday night, we have a load of teenagers coming into our halls. We use activities to draw them. We use activities to engage them. We use activities to build relationships with them. We use activities for them just to enjoy themselves and put a smile on their face. We use those activities, but that's not, we're not running a football club over there. We're not running a craft club. If we got bogged down in the activities, then that's all we'd be doing. But we use those activities to share our identity, and most of all, our identity in Christ, okay? So whenever we run football on a Friday night, the reason we do that is we play the activity ourselves, we engage in the activity ourselves, and through how we react, through how we respond, through how we speak to the kids, then we begin to share the life of Christ and our life that we try to live for Christ as we do that. So don't get so bogged down in the activities that we miss sharing Christ's identity. And so we want to continue to provide things for young people to pursue depth. Things like our one-to-one mentoring scheme, our leaders in training scheme, providing opportunities for young people to go on mission and experience that, to develop a kind of greater maybe Bible study cell group structure for some of our older young people, to do all sorts of things, to develop our training for our own volunteers. So if you volunteer in a children's or youth organization, you should be asking yourself on a weekly basis, how can I become better at what I do? Okay, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not the best equipped youth worker yet. I have more to learn. I have more to discover. And so we should be asking that. And so we want to, as a church, begin to equip the volunteers a little bit better for what they do, because we think it's so important, we just want to get better at what we do. And so we'll be launching a new training event at the very start of September called the Big Kickoff, that will kind of seek to draw all our organizations together for one night to try and offer and begin a process of a little bit more training. We need to pursue depth, but don't just listen to me and my voice and my words. I want you to hear tonight and listen tonight to the voices of some of our parents in church.